You may be seated. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and their helper, the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were offered $1 million and all you had to do was hook yourself up to a device that would broadcast your every thought, your every action, your every Google search, everything you did behind closed doors to your loved ones, family, and friends for a week, would you do it? My guess is that many of you just completely shuddered at that notion. The idea of anyone seeing your deepest, darkest parts that you like to stay hidden, away from everyone else, for no one else to see. Now, I can only certainly speak for myself, but I would reject that offer wholeheartedly. If nothing else, just because I think the embarrassment that that week would bring would not be worth $1 million. The truth is, there's certain things I don't want other people knowing or seeing. There are things I want to hide. So I invite you to keep this little thought experiment in the back of your mind. We're going to return to it later on. Now, you may recall last week, Pastor Scott led us through the narrative of Nicodemus coming to Jesus during the night. And in that conversation, Jesus tells Nicodemus that one must be born of water and of spirit if they want to enter the kingdom of God. And that's what leads us into today's reading, which is a continuation of John's gospel narrative. In order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born of water and of spirit. Now, around this same time, there was a woman in the land of Samaria. And Samaria, if you don't know, was directly between Judah, which was in the south, and Galilee, which was in the north. Between those two was this region called Samaria. And in that region, there was this woman. We don't know her name, so for the sake of the story, we'll call her Sophia. We know next to nothing about the details of her life. So the things I'm going to share with you now are all quite plausible. They could have happened, but they are imagined. So imagine Sophia, a young woman who strongly desired to be married, as most good Samaritan and Jewish women did. Because the culture of the time dictated that men ran the show. Women were typically not even allowed to interact with a man in public. It was perfectly normal for husbands to completely ignore their wives while they were out in town. So imagine how difficult it would have been to be a woman that's completely on their own during this time. Pretty much unable to do anything at all to provide for yourself. That's why if you were a widow that had no family members at all, that was almost worse than a death sentence. So this woman, Sophia, did not want to be helpless. She desired to be dependent upon a loving husband. So she married young to a rather handsome and well-established man. But almost immediately, Sophia and her husband had problems. At least the marriage was not what she expected it to be. Except for intimacy, her husband completely ignored her. She felt used and dirty and trapped. But what could a Samaritan woman do? She was expected to do everything for her husband, everything for her household, and yet she felt so worthless and drained by doing the very thing she was expected to do. And this went on for months. Eventually, Sophia's troubled relationship started affecting her housework. The strong sense of abandonment by her husband led her to great anxiety. And eventually that anxiety led her to making mistakes, forgetting to do something that her husband asked her to do, not having his clothes ready in the morning. Eventually, after this went on, her husband felt she wasn't even worth all the mistakes that she was making, so he divorces her. Which, by the way, was completely normal for a man to do according to society of the time. So being divorced by her first husband with no one else, what could Sophia do having no one to provide for her? Find another man, potentially worse than the first. And this one was even less tolerant than the first. The moment Sophia slightly burnt dinner, he divorced her. Again, this actually was completely normal for a man to do, divorce a wife because of burnt dinner. Maybe now Sophia would just take her losses and become a beggar on the streets or even a prostitute, one of the few jobs that a woman could actually do during this time. Unfortunately, no. Whether it was by divorce or death or other unfortunate events, she would eventually be left by three more men, until no other men would be convinced by her to marry a woman who has already had 500 husbands. Then at her breaking point, she relents and goes to whoever will let her stay at his house. A man who won't commit to her, won't marry her, but will let her stay with him. Again, these are quite plausible details of what could have happened. But we don't know many of the actual true explicit details. What we do know for certain about this woman is that she was a woman who lived in Samaria. She was married to five men. And she was living at the time with someone she was not married to. One thing is for sure about this woman that we find later at the well. Whatever she was hoping to find in men, she never found. She was let down time and again, whether by divorce or unfortunate death or other unknown circumstances. And this is the situation that Jesus walks into. Just consider for a second how scandalous this would have been. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus, had to do so during the night so that he wouldn't be implicated with coming and talking to him. John tells us that Jesus had to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. But we also know this is not something any normal Jewish man would actually do. In fact, the Pharisees often instructed people to go completely around Samaria to get to Galilee. There were maps that were drawn to specifically instruct people the way that they can go so that not a single toe would be stepped on Samaritan soil, because the Jews hated the Samaritans that much. Jesus had to go to Samaria for one reason. It's not because his journey demanded it. He could have easily gone around as so many have done before. But he had to see this woman. A Jewish man had to go and see this Samaritan woman in the middle of the day. The sixth hour, which was noon, broad daylight. He did not hide himself like Nicodemus did. And if a Jewish man going into Samaria, visiting with a Samaritan woman in the middle of the day wasn't bad enough, Jesus actually talks with this person. He asks her for water, things that normal Jewish men would never, ever do. And in that conversation he has with her, he tells her of this living water that only he can offer, the same water that he mentioned to Nicodemus. And completely unexpected by this woman, she is treated well by a man. She's treated well by someone who doesn't just dismiss her because she's a Samaritan, who doesn't just dismiss her because she's a woman, or even because she's a whore who's had five husbands. No. This man was different. This man was Jesus. He was the promised Messiah who told this woman all that she ever did. And he didn't do so as a holier-than-thou power flex, but he did so as a loving Messiah and Savior, a God who loves his people. Jesus, who desires relationship no matter how scandalous it may be, no matter how horrible this woman's circumstances were. She was given attention she may have never received before. And she was given that attention by God himself. And what does she do in response? She heads back to the village and she tells everyone, "Come, see this man who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" You can imagine the response by those people she comes and tells. "This man told you all you've ever done? He knew all that you've done and he still wanted to talk with you? I want to see who this guy is." The woman could not help herself. Meeting Jesus, meeting God's very son, the one that she and all Jews and Samaritans were anticipating and waiting for. That meeting with Jesus was nothing like she could have ever expected. Nor could she have ever anticipated the journey that Jesus was going to go on. The journey he would eventually walk. That journey from Galilee to Jerusalem one final time, where he would take up his cross and he would be crucified. And his blood would pour out. The journey to his own death. His blood from the cross pouring out for everything that that Samaritan woman ever did. For everything that all five of her husbands ever did. For everything that all Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles alike have ever done. And though she didn't know the journey Jesus was going to make for her, experiencing the gospel, experiencing Jesus, still led her to act. Despite everyone in the town knowing her, despite the shame of being married five times and living with someone who she's not married to, despite all that, she knew Jesus cared for her. She knew Jesus loved her. She knew Jesus loved her more than anyone ever had or anyone ever would. And that was enough. She needed to tell everyone she could about this man. Have there been times that you have let someone down? I know I have. I've made excuses because I didn't want to meet with a friend who was mourning the loss of her father. I made excuses to her that weren't even real because I didn't want to take the time out of my life. I'm sure as your pastor, I have let you down as well. Maybe there's someone that has let you down. And that has caused deep pain that you can't get rid of. So much so that you might have trouble trusting even the people that you love most and care about most. But I'm here to tell you, there is one man who's unlike any other that met you at the well of your baptism. A man who told you everything that you have ever done and ever will do. A man who offers you living water that will well up to eternal life. Jesus is this man. Jesus is our God. And he loves you more than anyone else could ever love you. He loves you so much that he died for you. And what does that love lead us to do? Well, I would hope it leads us to do exactly what the Samaritan woman did, to go and tell everyone, "Come see this man who told me all that I ever did. Come see this man who knows all I've done and loves me anyway. Come see this man who hasn't let me down as everyone else has let me down. Come see this man that I can trust when no one else is worth trusting. Come see this man who died and bled for me. So at the very beginning of this sermon, I asked you if you would be willing to let your very thoughts and actions be broadcasted to everyone for $1 million for a week. And regardless of what your answer to that question is, the truth is there is someone who sees our every thought. There is someone who knows everything that we do behind closed doors, everything that we do when no one's watching. There is one person who knows all that we have done and will ever do. And Jesus is that someone. And the amazing thing is, Jesus loves you anyway. He doesn't ask us to hide away our sins. He doesn't ask us to be ashamed of them. He asks us to willingly and openly lay them upon his shoulders that hung from the cross. There is no shame or embarrassment for us who have experienced Jesus. There's only forgiveness and reconciliation. Gifts that only one who knew everything that we have ever done could offer us. And these are gifts that make $1 million look like worthless trash. So thanks be to God for Jesus, who meets us sinners at the well. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus.